Hey everyone, if you're interested in a career in education as a teacher, please stay tuned. Hi, I'm Kiki.
And I'm Kemi.
And you're listening to
Your Advisors Will See You Now, a podcast that will help you to figure out all of your options for life after high school.
Everyone, welcome back to Your Advisors Will See You Now. We are still going on with our career series. This is probably going to be going on for forever because it's been really fun. And hopefully everyone's enjoyed listening and hearing different occupations and people's experiences in those fields. So today we're joined by one of my friends. We've been friends since like middle school. This is Tess Squires, and she is an elementary education teacher. So Tess is going to talk about her journey into education, her career. And again, we always want to give you all insight into what different fields are like. So Tess, thank you for being on. We're excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So if you can just introduce yourself and talk about what your background or what you do at the moment.
Okay. Well, like Kiki said, I'm Tess Squires and I teach third grade at Matthews Elementary School. So I'm in the Charlotte Mecklenburg school system. And I love teaching. I teach all subjects every day. So I've got about 20 kids in my class. Every day I just teach. I put out little fires and manage classroom drama and love every minute of it. Well, mostly every minute of it.
Can you talk about your education background, like how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, well, I always wanted to be a teacher. I used to like set up my little stuffed animals and have like a blackboard and chalk, and I'd read to them. And then somewhere in high school, I had a business class that I think it was my senior year of high school. I just loved this business class. So I thought, well, maybe I want to go into business because I'd always planned on being a teacher. Mm-hmm. So teacher Mr. Schwartz, he made me enjoy business so much that I just decided to be a business major at Appalachian State. It was the only school I applied for. Go Apps.
Ooh, you're a rival school, actually.
You kind of are, right? I remember. You're right. That is
true.
I love App State. So I knew I wanted to go there after visiting my sister and just seeing how gorgeous Boone was and the outdoorsy things. I knew that they were like top teaching college in the state. Like they used to only be a teaching school. But yeah, for some reason I decided to go into business. I thought, you know, I wanted to own my own salon. And so I just started taking like a ton of business classes and I kind of pushed off the gen ed classes. My advisor was like, you know what, if you just go really hard on the business classes and save these gen ed classes for later, you'll just like have a really easy junior and senior year. So I ended up like kind of regretting doing that because, you know, I spent a couple years taking business classes that I didn't end up completing. I decided, you know what, really, I think accounting too was when I was like, you know what, I'm going back to being a teacher. Like I always thought I would be. And, I thought, you know, if I want to own my own salon, then I'll hire an accountant. So that's when I switched majors. And I just right away, I knew I'd made the right decision. And so started taking teaching classes, and it was a long journey. I dropped out of school a couple times before I really graduated in 2020, right before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Well, actually when the pandemic hit, I was able to finish the qualifications I needed to do for my student teaching right before I was unable to teach those kids anymore. So I got really lucky with the timing there, but yeah. And then, that's pretty much, I just kind of had like a winding journey and I learned a lot about myself. A lot of things happened and I don't really regret anything. Except for maybe, you know, not taking more time to make sure that I knew what I wanted to do before just like diving into those classes. I think the gen ed classes are a really good way to kind of figure out what you want to do.
I totally agree too. I feel like, and this is just my personal thing too, I wish that there was more opportunity in high school for us to maybe take some kind of career options or some kind of guidance to help figure out what it is we want to do too. So that way we're kind of ready to go to college after that and select a major, because it is a pretty decently, I forgot what the percentage was, but it is a high percentage of people that select a major and then change it again. So it's very, very common. But at least if high schools were able to maybe junior or senior year help us to refocus on like a whole bunch of options and see what we like, then that would be helpful too. But that's always
I'm all for a gap year too. If you know, want to graduate high school and then take a year to kind of work and figure out things, I think that's a fantastic idea. I didn't really feel like that was even an option. I was like, you're going to college as soon as, you know, like, it was never a question of whether I was going to college or not. That was how it was in my house. Like, my sister and I knew we were going to college, and we were the first ones in our family to graduate from college. So we've been really proud of that. But I did, like, I traveled some in college and I took a semester off to live in Ecuador. I just kind of like took the road less traveled. And for a while, I was kind of ashamed of that. Like, I felt like I had kind of failed, and I felt embarrassed that for people I knew that started college after me were graduating before me. I don't know. I felt like I was doing something wrong or like failing in some way. But at the end of the road, I don't feel like that at all. I'm actually really proud.
So what grade, what grade are you teaching now? What made you choose that grade?
Okay, so actually I didn't choose third grade. That was just where I was placed. When the pandemic hit, I didn't want my first year teaching to be virtual. So my friend had said, she'd been seeing things on Nextdoor for teachers or private tutors. And so she put my information on Nextdoor, and I got a call from a family who, they had six different families. They had kindergartners at Matthews Elementary School. And so, we're like, you know, can you just come teach our kids every day at home instead of them doing the whole virtual thing? So that's what I did. And then when the schools reopened, they were kind of emailing and calling the principal and saying, like, Tess has been our children's kindergarten teacher, like, she's amazing, you should hire her.
That's awesome.
So they ended up reaching out to me for a long-term sub position. So I was subbing in third grade for like 2.5 months, and then just hoping to get a job at this school because it's a really great school. And so then I ended up taking a second long-term sub position there for kindergarten, and then around 6 months later, they were able to like hire me full-time. And so the spot that they needed was in third grade. I think like some other teachers really wanted to move. I know that like another third grade teacher, she was really ready for something new and to switch it up. And I think to switch teams as well. So that's just what they had. And I really enjoy it. I love third grade. So, and I think that's one of the cool things about teaching is just the different ages and the different, you know, content that you teach. You know, if you get the burnout or bored of one thing, you could always switch it up. So kindergarten is so drastically different than I did fourth grade last year. Third grade is like a sweet spot. I really love it. They're focusing a lot on reading comprehension now, whereas like up until this point, they've been really just trying to learn how to read fluently. And with COVID, you know, a lot of kids are behind on a lot of those skills. So that's part of the challenge with teaching right now is kind of filling in a lot of holes from previous grades. Mm-hmm. And so can't really fully dive into third grade content if they're not at third grade level. So just kind of supplementing that, you know, it is really challenging right now, but it's also fun and it's really rewarding because they're like sponges and they soak it up and you can see that large growth. It's one of the biggest, you know, rewards, the reasons why I do it. Just see that growth, and it's a good feeling. It makes me feel proud. You know, I'm like, obviously it's them, and I'm like, it's you. You did this, but you know, I'm like, you're making me look good.
No, that's awesome. That's a good point too. I haven't thought about it lately. That there's a lot of holes, like you said, from COVID, and you are there to fill it in. But I can imagine too. That's really fun because they want to learn, is what it sounds like. and teachers like yourself. And that's what I think everyone has teachers. Like when you enjoy your job, like the kids can tell, mm-hmm. and it makes them want to be engaged as well. So that's really awesome. Yeah. That's kind of a fun age too. I agree. But I was going to ask too. So I know with teaching, you have to be like licensed. Can you talk about that process? I know it's like the praxis and having a certain amount of teach or classroom hours. Can you talk about like how you went about that process?
Yeah. So with the App State program, just take, you know, the required amount of classes, and then you have student teaching as your final semester. And so during mm-hmm. student teaching, you have to complete a portfolio. And so I think I have some friends who are entering the teaching field now laterally. So I think you still have to complete that portfolio or just take some licensure exams. I'm not exactly sure, but I know a lot of people are now kind of switching over into that career and not doing it the traditional way. But I did it the traditional way. And so I completed my portfolio, which was me recording myself teaching and analyzing, you know, myself, analyzing student work, and giving feedback, and just really writing a lot about like the process that I went through teaching the lesson and what worked, what didn't, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then there's two exams that you have to take. There used to be three, but now there are two. And one's the Foundations of Reading exam. It's about a 4-hour exam. And it's got 100 multiple choice questions just about, you know, all the different aspects of teaching kids to read, to then vocabulary and reading comprehension and stuff. And then there's a math praxis, which is about 52 questions. I think you have like an hour or an hour and a half to take it. So you have to take those within the first 3 years of for teaching. So I actually had signed up to take them in 2020 when I graduated. You can take them before you graduate or after. And so anyways, I had signed up for them and paid for them and everything, and they got canceled because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And they kept getting pushed back and pushed back. And so finally, I guess I was able to take them, and I didn't, because I was just like putting it off because I'm a procrastinator. And I finally went to go take them, and they're like, yeah, you know, kept pushing it off. So you have to like pay again. Like you have to repay.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
Darn it.
Right.
But I took them, and because I had just had so much experience in kindergarten, fourth grade, third grade, like I didn't study for either of them, and I just like crushed them. So I was like, wow. And I knew that these would have been really a lot harder if I'd taken them when I planned to, before I had that experience, because, you know, you can read about it in books and you can study mm-hmm. as much as you can and watch amazing teachers. But until you're doing it yourself, you know, that's when it really, you know, especially if a lot of teachers are just, I feel like born to be teachers, and it just mm-hmm. comes, you know, it's like an instinct and it comes naturally. So mm-hmm. I would suggest if, somebody is thinking about waiting to take the exams, I would say, I think it's a great idea to get some experience under your belt, and you have those 3 years to be able to take it. My professors were like pushing so hard. They're like, just take it, just get out of the way. And so that's what I was going to do. But mm-hmm. that's a suggestion I have, a hack. I have a friend who's studying to take the exam right now, because she wants to become a teacher. And it's hard. It's a lot of stuff. So,
yeah, usually we ask this question near the end of our podcast, but since we're kind of touching on it now, what are the different ways that you can get into teaching? So you took the route of getting your bachelor's and taking the examinations. Are there any other ways that you could go about doing teaching, or is maybe there's different routes if you want to be like a sub, or what do you know of some of those processes?
Yeah. There's a lot of open positions right now for like guest teachers, which is kind of like a substitute for that school. So, and you're just there mm-hmm. every day. So mm-hmm. at our school, they had offered me to be a guest teacher. So I'd be like hired and have benefits. When I was doing those long-term sub positions, I ended up choosing not to do that because I was getting paid more to be a sub. And I wanted to like more cash instead of the having the benefits and the insurance and stuff. So at the time, that was what worked well for me. And to someone else ended up being hired in that guest teacher position. And she went to school for, she was sports medicine or something. And she just like had decided she didn't want to do that anymore. She was like, I actually want to teach. I mean, and she's she's young. She just graduated recently. So she just became a guest teacher. And so she just had her degree for sports medicine or physical therapy, or I can't remember exactly what it was. So she is at our school, and they were like, you know, the fifth grade teacher just kind of like up and left without really warning in the middle of the year. So she is now filling in that position in fifth grade, and she is kind of, I guess, entering laterally. So she's the one I was talking about that's studying for these tests. Actually, she just took the second one yesterday, passed the math, and so she's entering a program through. I don't know where she's entering the program through, but it's somewhere in Charlotte, and so she could either take some other exams to get into that program for school, or she could just take the licensure exams, and that would act as, or like if you have a certain SAT score that allows you into the program.
Okay.
She's like working in the school, but she doesn't have her license. She's just hired as a guest teacher. She's working towards getting her license.
Yeah. Do you know if that's, I don't know if you probably know that, if it's like a state by state thing, or if that might be something that you can do anywhere in the U.S.
I know it is different from state to state. They have different requirements. Okay. Some states have reciprocity. So like I could use my teaching license in Georgia and in South Carolina. And some states you have to take the exams again.
That's good to know. I would have never have really thought about that too, about the licensing part and reciprocity if you wanted to move somewhere and teach somewhere else. So that's interesting. That's definitely good for our audience to take note of too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know. I think I've been hearing things like it's super easy to get into teaching now. And I'm like, well, you know, why did I go to school for all of you? Can just pop in. No, but but I think, you know, it's great if people want to teach and they're passionate about it, then, you know, there should be more than one way to make it happen. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. And I'm not quite sure what it is, but I remember it may have been during the pandemic. I feel like CMS or Central Piedmont, where I work, may have been running like some program for like the lateral entry thing. I had never heard of it. We had a few students that came in and they were like, yeah, I want to get into the teaching field. Like, how do I do lateral entry? And I was like, I have no idea. I have to talk to the education department. But it sounds like you're right. I think just because there's probably a shortage of teachers and they just want qualified people that don't have the specific credentials, I guess, to be a teacher, but they're like, you can do this program. I'll have to do my research to find that, because I'm sure people out there, you know, want to do that, and it's probably an easier route. But you took the route that's traditional, which is great as well.
Yeah. I think there's something probably great about, you know, taking those classes and getting all those certifications while you're actually doing it, you know, and the fact that I didn't have to take my exams until almost 3 years into my license, you know, it's kind of the same thing. It's like you're becoming qualified as you're in the classroom. Like that's really, and I will say one more thing about me being a long-term sub, because I was like, I was thinking, why am I just being paid as a sub when I, you know, have the qualifications as a teacher? But I just really wanted to work at the school really bad. And so I was just patient, and that's just, I was going to get it, you know, the school I wanted. So something really unfortunate happened where our school, CMS displaced three teachers at our school, because there were other schools in the district that really, really needed teachers. And they were like, you guys can, you know, stand to lose some because we're going to send them here. So it was really unfortunate. Three of our teachers had to leave. And, you know, if I had been hired instead of being a substitute, like I would have left the school. Like I wouldn't have had a say. and I could have been placed anywhere. So, you know, everything worked out in the end for everybody involved, and like the teachers that were displaced, things did work out. It was really, really hard, and it was awful. Like they were just like, everyone was crying. We're like, we're losing people, you know? And I just remember thinking like, this is happening for a reason that I'm not hired, because I could have been having to drive like 45 minutes across town to work every day. So if you're in a place where you're like down on yourself and you're feeling like, aren't things working out the way they should be? You know, maybe they are, and there's some other your plan at work. That's how I felt. Like everything in my life has kind of worked out the way it was supposed to, even though it's been really kind of a strange journey, unconventional. But I also have said, you know, I think that that makes me also be a great teacher, that the kind of student I was, you know, a procrastinator, kind of unconventional, and I think just me not being the best student, and also me just, you know, doing things my own way has made me be a really good teacher. And because I see the students and I'm like, you know, I can help you, and I appreciate you for who you are as a student, you know,
right?
Just like little humans.
Can you tell us, so a lot of people know or have had teachers, so they know face value that obviously you're getting in front of a classroom and you're helping children learn and soak in different aspects of education. Can you let us in on a little more detail of maybe the behind the scenes that people don't really know about? So like formulating curriculum, having to go to conferences, having to maybe even work with parents, even though they're not in the classroom. Can you tell people a little bit of those different sides of teaching that they might not be familiar with?
Yeah. Planning is, you know, one of the challenges of teaching. It's just, you know, you have like a 30-minute or 40-minute planning time during the day. And if you actually could get planning done during that time, that would be incredible. But the reality is you're running to the bathroom, you see somebody, you talk to them for a couple minutes, and then before you know it, it's time to go get your class. And so the reality is you are doing a lot of work at home, or in the morning, or staying late. I mean, yeah, teachers need to be paid more, because we actually work so much more than the contractual time that we are getting paid for. And, you know, we do spend a lot of money on our supplies, but it's because we love what we do, you know, and you want to be creative. So that's kind of a challenge, just planning, because I'm just not the best with time management. So sometimes I end up having to plan, you know, last minute for things, or things change. But that's also kind of like a strength of mine. Like sometimes when things don't go the way I planned, something even better comes out. So just a lot of teachers, like especially new teachers, you just have to have grace for yourself and trust your instincts. And with COVID, a lot of the curriculum now is like uniform for the district. So it's less planning your own lessons and more like teaching lessons that are given to you, because they just wanted everything to be, I guess, uniform when you're doing virtual learning. So
can you give an example of that for us? So yeah, give an example of that.
For ELA, we have a program called L. And so every school across the district is teaching, you know, the same lessons, reading the same book. As before, you'd have like the standards that you're supposed to teach, like understanding main idea. So before, like I as a teacher would plan whatever kind of lesson that I wanted to teach to talk about main idea or character traits. Now it's like the same across the board.
Wow. So it's really that specific. Wow.
You know, as a teacher, you either like it or you don't, or so basically we'll kind of just pick and choose and make it our own, so that it's not, you know, boring. Or some of the things, I mean, that's just what you're supposed to teach. So I'm totally teaching what I'm supposed to teach, but you just have to always have a rationale for what you're teaching. So if I'm like veering off of, I'm not reading the script, and if I'm doing it my own way, I just always have to have a rationale of why this meets the standards of the North Carolina course of study.
Yeah.
So it's kind of helpful for new teachers, but, I think, you know, there's something about creating your own lesson that's just fun and you can be more creative than the stuff mm-hmm. that's put in front of you. But it is kind of nice. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that. But yeah, and then with math, there's a set curriculum that, you know, same kind of thing. You just kind of make it your own and change things, add things in. Your own lessons. And so that makes planning a little bit easier. There's a lot of resources for you to use. And so planning is one aspect. And then the work relationships, like the team relationships, that's another thing that I've never really thought about before I went into teaching that can be challenging. Because you have to have grade level planning with administration. We do it every 7 school days. And so that can be, you know, interesting trying to all agree on things or just like the kind of dynamics of a team. But I just try to like not let things bother me and just keep it moving, you know, and a lot of the teachers I work with are positive and have really good attitudes. And if you're not, then I'm just like, look, like I told you guys, I'm just like, I'm still bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Keep the negativity, keep it moving. Yeah, there's that. And professional development. There's lots of like opportunities for workshops and growth. I actually signed up to do 2 different professional development opportunities before I was like officially hired on as a full-time teacher because they were going to pay for it. Like CMS was going to pay for me to get a certification that I really, really wanted, Orton Gillingham. And I'm like, you're going to pay for me to take it. I got paid for taking it. And I got a bunch of materials and I can charge more nice. Because I have more qualifications to teach kids how to read. So, you know, I can make more money for my tutoring and I do. So I think
very cool.
Any professional development opportunities are amazing because it's like you are getting paid to go to school. You know, we put so much money into our own education. So after being hired, like, Let the district pay for you to learn more and more.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean that's a good behind the scenes because you mentioned like even grading. I feel like a lot of people don't realize like teachers go home and grade for hours. I feel like we were talking like so. Tess, yeah. Alice and I, one of our other friends, we were talking the other night on Google Meet, and I feel like Tess was grading papers then.
Right.
Yeah.
I was writing down everyone's name and stapling their reports for their. I have this bucket right here. It says to grade. It's a drawer that I brought home.
Okay, yeah.
It's got like 3 different assignments in there that I need to grade today. Okay. Yeah, it really never ends. And I'm single and have no children.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? While I can, I'm just like tutoring as much as possible to make money. You know, I try to be as creative as I can and plan things on the weekend. Because a lot of my friends are like, once you have kids mm-hmm. or when you're married, like it's so hard to have that time, like balance the time. So I'm like, well, while I have a lot of free time, I'm doing creative things for my classroom on the weekend. And a lot of parents are very willing to volunteer to help you like do stuff for the classroom, make things, I would say take advantage of anyone who's willing to help you because you deserve help.
on that same point too. So you mentioned like parents, right? I don't know how this works. It's been a long time, obviously. But you have like a teacher assistant, or is it like just you with your class for the majority of the day?
You have a teacher assistant for 40 minutes a day. That's different from school to school. I have her take a small group and she works with them, the same small group every day. She works with four of my kids, and that's what I choose to have her do during that time. It's really up to me, like what, if she was going to stay in the classroom and like do things for me there, or if she was to go, like make things. And I choose to have her work with the kids. She's amazing with kids and she wants to, to do a small group. Yeah. That's kind of something that is up to the teacher. And it's interesting, cause she used to be a teacher and she has her master's and she's like an incredible person to work with. And it was almost like intimidating that I asked her the other day, I was like, how are you feeling with your group? Like, do you think maybe we should switch up groups because I'm noticing this? And she was just like, it's up to you. Like 100%. Said, I think we found a really good groove and would like to continue with this group, but you're the teacher and whatever you think is best, like I 100% support. That's really cool. Like she's right. I'm the teacher and what I, think is best we should do. But it's interesting, as a new, less experienced teacher to have that kind of control over your class, because ultimately I'm responsible for each of those kids in my class. And so I'm the one who needs to make the decision. Some people have a teacher assistant all day long, in younger grades. I imagine that would be great to be able to go to the bathroom whenever you want.
No.
Yeah. I believe that. Yeah, man. You are incredible. That's amazing. I was going to ask another question because you just mentioned that your assistant has her master's degree. How, like, do you have plans to, like, get a master's? Is it like, necessary? Obviously not required, but do you feel like it's necessary to have that master's, for your career?
It used to be that you would get paid more if you had a master's. It's no longer that way. So I don't have any plans to further my education in that way. I don't really see a benefit from it because I'm getting more professional development. I'm learning things and I don't want to spend any more money. I'm debt free by grace of God. I did have a scholarship for my schooling. That's having awesome. Being a low income family. And being the first to graduate from college, my sister and I both were part of a program that helped us pay for school. So I'm like, I'm not spending any more money. I'm getting more professional development. And if there were a pay raise like there used to be, then I might would have a different opinion on that. But I don't see.
Right. I didn't realize that wasn't a thing anymore. Because I mean, that's what I imagined too. Like if you had a master's, you were getting paid more. But that's good to know. I didn't realize that it kind of
phased
that
changing.
Out. Yeah.
I don't know the reason. I don't know why that's no longer a thing, but.
Well, good to know. Cause like you said, you're debt free. Like that's, you're making a lot of points that is like what we talk about on this podcast. You talked about like wishing you had done more research, like at the beginning of your college career, which Kemi and I feel the same, but that's like our main thing is just, for students like to do their research, being as debt-free as possible, like minimal debt to no debt as possible. And just like having, you didn't like say internships, but having that like experience, like in the field. So I feel like you're a prime example of what we're harping on.
I was so thankful. That program I'm talking about, Access at App State, that paid for my school, they also gave me work study programs on campus. So when I was in business, then I was like an administrator's assistant, and I was working in that building. And then when I switched my major, they put me in the college preschool where a lot of the professors and students' kids went.
Oh,
so cool. I got to work with kids, and
That's so cool.
I think internships, you know what's really frustrating though? So many other majors have paid internships. Yeah, I feel like student teaching should be a paid internship. You know, like you could get paid like a sub or something. Yeah. So I was like,
don't even get us started on how much people have done that. We will go on.
I think I agree with you guys. Just finding, and also, you know, I'm not blaming my advisor, but I don't think that that was the best advice. And I wish that I had asked for advice from more people. I don't really know who. Who I would have asked, but I wish I had gotten more opinions instead of just being like, yeah, that's a great idea. And then just advocating for yourself because they're there to help you, but that doesn't mean that, you know, they don't know everything, you know, they're there to help you and you can listen to them, but
it stops
there. Also, you know, I would kind of, I don't know. I don't think I was an advocate for myself very much. I'm like, you know, this was me. I'm paying for, or not paying for college, but I'm here to get, you know, an education and right. I'm paying my rent to go to this school. So I should have just been a little more like take charge of my own mix.
Yeah, I agree with that for myself too.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. I'm not sure if you'll be able to answer. So let's say, because we have elementary, middle school, and high school, is there a different path that you have to take to be a teacher in one of those types of schooling?
Yes, my license is K-6, so I could teach any grade there. My good friend, she teaches kindergarten at my school. She has a birth through kindergarten degree, so she would be able to do like pre-K, and she teaches kindergarten, but she's not able to do anything beyond that. So she is going back to school right now. She is going to change her certification so that she could teach other grades. I think she's kind of had it with kindergarten. It's been like many years. And so I think she wants to, some teachers, like they want to quit. And I'm like, I don't think you really want to quit. I think you need to like change grade,
change it up,
you know, go to fifth grade. So there's that, K-6. And then, there's secondary, which is like high school. I'm not really sure about like just teaching middle school. I think.
So I think elementary and middle school is, there's like majors for that, I think. Cause like, so you, elementary, I can't talk right now. Was your major elementary education? Yeah. So yeah, I think, okay. So I think there's also middle grade education majors. And then I know I'm hopping every question, but I just I have students all the time. They're like, I want to teach. And I'm like, teach what? And so I have to learn these things. But then for secondary, they have to actually major in whatever they want to teach. So if they want to major in math, they have to be a math major. And I think education minor. And then if they want to teach science. So it's more specific when you get to secondary because they have to actually major in the subject area. And then also like have the education. I guess it's a major or like a double major or a minor.
That's really cool. And it's like the opposite of mine, which is I'm majoring in elementary education. And then I would have a minor or a concentration or something. For me, I was a Spanish concentration. So I was considered
Going
into ESL or something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Got you. That would have been cool too. That's really lucrative as well. ESL. But yeah, I see a lot because even I've learned more recently, like I've learned more firmly that if you want to, it's like you mentioned your friend who has like the birth to kindergarten. Where I work, you can get like the birth to kindergarten and an associate's degree and they can like enter into the daycare system, or I guess like the birth to kindergarten field within the daycares. But if they want to get a bachelor's, we also have like a transfer program so they can transfer to any of the UNC system schools, but still like within birth to kindergarten. There's also, they can like do more like social work is what it sounds like case management type work as well. So I feel like there's a lot of options. Like I'm really learning. There's like so many options with education. Yeah. It's really cool.
You know, if I wanted, I think I could be hired for like a high school Spanish teacher. if I wanted to, you know, like, I, and that's just one of the things that was so appealing to me. I'm like, I could be principal if I want, I could be, you know, I could switch anything I want, you know, but I will say after switching grades three times in the last 3 years, is very challenging to just like have to relearn, like you have to learn the whole curriculum, you know, so you want to be an expert, which takes time, but it's, that's another behind the scenes thing is, you know, we don't just remember everything that we're teaching, you know, like I'm a smart person, but I don't have all that information stored in my brain. So I have to learn things and I have to learn new strategies, to teach. And so it's, I mean, it's fun. It makes me feel smarter. It makes me feel smarter all the time. I'm like, learn all about frogs. I'm like, did not, you know, have all this information about frogs before, but now I do.
That sounds really fun. You've mentioned like a lot about your highlights and your challenges a lot, like in your answers. So that's awesome. My final question, I was going to ask, do you watch Abbott Elementary?
No, but my friend keeps.
No, you need to watch it.
I am going to start it because my coworker, she's like, have you started watching it yet? And she loves it. Is that on Hulu?
It's on Hulu.
Yeah, they have it on Hulu.
Yeah, it's really fun. But it's just cool to kind of see, like, it's just like, it seems like it's like the real life of teachers. And it's just fun. Like, they're in like inner city Philadelphia. But the show is hilarious. Okay, so I just feel like all teachers, all educators should watch Abbott Elementary. It's funny. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's kind of like similar to The Office, but with teaching in a school.
Yeah.
Like how The Office was set up. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is. Similar.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think my final question, I know you kind of sprinkled it in with that, but what are your top three pros, top three cons about being a teacher?
The top pros, relationships with students is my number one pro. Never bored, ever. That's another pro. And just feeling accomplished, the feeling of accomplishment I have most days. I mean, there are days when I feel like a failure. So that's a con because it's not low stakes, you know, what you're doing. It's really important. It's a big responsibility. So, feeling like could have done better is hard. Say being hard on myself would be one con. Spending a lot of money on my classroom, which is my personal choice, but it's a con because stuff is expensive. And
yeah, that's still wild to me.
I would say burnout be a con. It's really easy to get burnout, and you have to be very conscious to avoid that. So it's easier said than done, you know.
You relate to that. We understand. Yes, we understand a little part of it. We're not teachers, but we understand the burnout part in a different way. So yeah, those are good.
Yeah, especially when you have a heart for helping people, there's definitely it's kind of like you're pouring from a cup and you kind of need to get it poured back into yourself too, especially if you're in those kind of careers. Mm-hmm. So it can definitely lead to burnout for sure.
And I've heard a lot from friends. I've only worked at this one school and I just knew right away I wanted to be there. But I've heard from so many friends about admin making their life really difficult. And my admin, it's all women and they are very upfront about wanting you to take care of your mental health first and taking mental health days, self-care days. Like she'll say, you know, you don't need a reason. You can write self-care.
That's awesome.
They're very just like supportive. And so if anybody out there experiences something different, you know, just know that there are schools that will prioritize their teachers and back their teachers up. And that's where you want because it makes a huge difference. I mean, like I said, I haven't experienced anything else, but my mom was a teacher. My sister was a teacher assistant, and they, you know, and countless friends have just had negative experiences with their admin. So, you know, don't be afraid to look somewhere else and somewhere where it's a positive work environment. Cause I just love going to work every day and like seeing those people. And I love when administration comes into my classroom because I'm not worried that they're going to like, it's not a gotcha. They're there to like support me and tell me how great I'm doing. And, you know, for advice, if they see something they can advise me on.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love to hear that. Especially in this climate. I love to hear that there is positivity. And of course, they're not going to talk about that in the news or like mainstream. So that is,
yeah.
Can't think of the word right now, but that's just like great to know that there are still amazing schools out there with amazing teachers like yourself. And yeah, you all spend your days with these kids, like more than they're at home with their own families. So you really have to have.
I know, it's so crazy to think about. Sometimes I think about that. I'm like, I'm with this kid like 7 hours. I mean, I spend so much time. I have a lot of influence on them, you know, and they teach me so much too. Mm-hmm. So don't take that lightly. But no, I just have an opportunity. I have a lot of depression in my family, and I have nieces and nephews who struggle with mental health. Mm-hmm. And it's really an epidemic. The suicide rates of middle schoolers and high schoolers, it's like the second leading cause of death. And I have an opportunity to, you know, try to help shape some of these kids' characters and have them be leaders and have them be kind people. And that's what I try to do. If I can, you know, just reach a kid and see them be, you know, or stop them from being a bully because they've been bullied and just have those conversations. Those are things that, you know, help me sleep at night. And I'm like, I know I made a difference. So that's my goal. That's my goal. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Yay.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Tess. Thank you for coming on the podcast and giving us just insight about working in education, even though we always see like the front side of it, not really the behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And just thank you for all the work that you do, because you really, I feel like sometimes teachers don't get thanked enough. Like, you guys do a lot of work. You're with kids all day long and you're teaching our generation. So really thank you for that
too. And thank you guys for what you're doing. You guys are also making an impact, and I love what you're doing with this podcast. I'm so lucky to have you guys as well.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And then I guess, thank you. And then I guess I'll throw it back to the listeners. Thank you, listeners, for listening in. Without you, this wouldn't be possible either. So our listeners, please make sure to follow us on all of our social media outlets, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. Send us emails as well, because we're interested in hearing what other careers you are interested in. And so we can do more interviews with those. But until then, we will see you in the next one.
See you.
Bye. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to the latest episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media pages and check out our website. Take a look at the show notes below.
And please make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. Also, show us some love and please leave a 5-star review. Catch you next time.
See ya.